Let me ask you something. What if there was someone out there who kept a log of every single thing you did every minute of the day? That would probably creep you out. Well, that's exactly what happens every time you go online. Your internet provider stores logs of every website you've ever visited and can legally sell this data to anyone. Worse yet, the government can obtain your data via bulk FISA order even if you're not personally suspected of any crime. That's why I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your internet provider can't see or log what you do online. Visit expressvpn.com/Mullen right now and find out how you can get 3 months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Mullen. Protect your data and get 3 months for free today.
Every revolution starts in the minds of the people. Arm yourself for the war of ideas. Take back your life. Take back your liberty. Tom Mullen talks freedom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Tom Mullen Talks Freedom. Today, I've got another guest who is unfortunately still dealing with the effects of what happened in 2020. And for all you regular listeners, we had Robbie De Niro here last week. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, please go back and listen to it, because he might be one step farther down the road than my guest today. And in that they've hit him with everything they could, and he's gone on offense now. So make sure you listen to the last episode of Tom Mullen Talks Freedom. And next week, we're going to have Naomi Wolf back to talk about some of her latest writing and activities with her business, which is tied to the Liberty Movement now. And former dyed-in-the-wool liberal Naomi Wolf is now, I'm not exactly sure what she is. I don't know if she's a libertarian. I'm going to ask her next week. So make sure you tune in for that. Today's guest, like all of us, was suffering about 4 years ago today with lockdowns and the effects of all that, except, you know, some of us were not allowed to go to work. Some of us were deemed essential. Another segment of the population, it wasn't just what they weren't allowed to do. It was what they were forced to do. And of course, I'm talking about vaccine mandates. And that's something that my guest, Kathy McGowan, ran into. Kathy is a Western New Yorker, like Robbie and myself. So you're getting a little taste of the local color from Tom Mullen Talks Freedom. Kathy was a physician practice coordinator at Erie County Medical Center. And if you hear us refer to ECMC, that's what we're talking about. It's one of the area hospitals here in Western New York. It's the main trauma center. And Kathy had a successful career going there in 2020 until the madness started. And so she's joining me today to tell her story. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very grateful for this opportunity. So remind people that healthcare workers are still fighting to get some of their rights back. Unlike the police, the fire, the teacher, and the New York State court employees, they all got their jobs back with seniority and back pay. We only got the right to go back to work if the position was open, because in our lawsuit, the state conceded. So there never really was a trial, and there never really was an order. So we can go back to our positions starting at square one if they are available.
Why don't you, before we get into more of those details about the legal process, and that's very interesting what you, that distinction you made, talk a little bit about your job before 2020. What is a physician practice coordinator? What did you do? I can't really tell, even though I was in the business for 10 years, whether it's clinical or business or a little bit of both. So talk about your job.
So my position was created for me by the county itself. the team that I worked for, the head of neck and plastic and reconstructive surgery team, we were a team at Roswell Park for many years. And then the CEO of ECMC at the time had approached us and asked if we would be willing to come to the county, because not everybody that has head and neck issues has cancer. And at Roswell Park, you can only treat cancer, but not all thyroid or esophageal cancer or issues are cancer. So we came to the county because we could service the community more. In addition, the plastic and reconstructive portion was very important because we service things like man versus car, man versus snowblower, man versus lawnmower, man versus motorcycle. get it? No, just kidding. And
I've lost a few of those fights. Go ahead.
Yes. So we did do breast reconstruction after mastectomy only. We were not the 90210 plastic surgery, you know, for the, you know, and I hate to stereotype, but, you know, board soccer moms. But so we were more reconstruct. We put your arms back on when they were ripped off in a machine accident, which happened a lot, believe it or not. So my goal, my role for the team and the county was to maintain 7 full-time surgeons and the clinic itself. So though I did not physically manage the actual clinic, it was my job to do everything to help the director who did manage it, because, you know, they were a fish out of water. We were the first type of cancer or any team like that to come to the hospital. We wrote clinical trials, which is where my expertise is, finding experimental drugs for cancer patients who are like on their last stitch effort when chemo and radiation are no longer available or an option. I go and find and try to find the miracle drug for them, which later you'll find out was a key component to the lawsuit against the state. I maintained their schedules. Any call that came in from another physician in anywhere, like any county, any state, those calls were directed to me and I got those patients in. You know, there are 2 very high profile patients that we had. The patients were very open, about who treated them with their cancers. So, you know, I dealt with, you know, those teams. And, I am not a nurse, but when the clinical trials would be in function, it was my job to consent the patients and go over sometimes like a 40-page document of what their rights are, what is being administered, if they were allowed to know. Some of the clinical trials don't let you know what's being administered. And, you know, the bottom line was I was the first person they saw in the trial, and then I was usually the last person. The rule was nobody could pass without me. So when the patients would pass, their loved ones, or if they were still in the hospital, you know, they would call, I'd get the call and see you later kind of thing. You know, we tried everything we could. In most cases, some people, you know, had great, great strides. Immunotherapy, which is now like a big option to chemo for a lot of patients. Chemo is a drug that gets in your body and fights the cancer, but immunotherapy boosts your immune system to fight the cancer. And that's kind of where I left off in my career. AstraZeneca, which is one of the big 4 drug companies, paid us loads of money to administer what at the time was a drug to start the immunotherapy process. I actually wrote the clinical trial for the first time ever by myself, and we beat Roswell. Roswell didn't even get it. So, you know, I was a huge component in that team. Other than doing surgeries and writing prescriptions, you know, I was the number 8 person. And, you know, it was hard. It was, you know, there were times that I had to give up vacations and sit there and get patients what they needed, or get the hospital what it needed to administer these drugs, or None of my doctors ever read their emails. I read all their emails and answered them for them. If I couldn't answer, well, you know, you figure if I took an hour to an hour and a half a week off of each doctor's plate for reading their emails, that's one thyroidectomy, which is $100,000 profit to the hospital. So 5 hours worth of work is bringing over $500,000 to the hospital. It was, you know, you got to, at some point, you just got to outweigh the good and the, you know, the good and the reasonable.
Let me stop you there for a minute, just to give people an idea. So you also mentioned Roswell Park, and for everybody who's not from Western New York, Roswell Park is a center for excellence for cancer treatment. And so you had this career that, not that you didn't do anything before Roswell Park, but give us an idea of the time frame. When did you start at Roswell Park, and how long had you been doing this in, as of 2020?
So I was hired September 11th, 2006 at Roswell Park. The chairman, who was still then became my chairman again at ECMC. I'll tell you how long ago it was. I had to look for jobs in a newspaper, type my resume, put a stamp and mail it, keep my fingers crossed and hope they would call me. That's how long ago, I applied for jobs back then. And the big joke in the department was they hired me because my family owned a liquor store. So I came in as an entry level secretary, typing notes. Dictations were done on a tape recorder, and the doctors would leave a pile of cassettes on your desk in the morning, and you'd have to spend, you know, 7 hours typing up documents for them. So that's how I started, but I'm greedy for money. I like money and I like to spend. So I kept saying, hey, there seems to be a need for this. If I learn how to do that, can I get a raise? And they'd be like, well, we're not paying you to learn, learn on your own. So that's how the clinical trials kind of came about, because there was definitely a need for somebody to either write them or push them through or work with the patients to get them educated. And so that's kind of how that came about.
But you were first hired in 2006. So by 2020, you had been there 13 to 14 years.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. So you've got this career that you partially, applied for a job. Like you said, I used to run provider relations for two different health insurers in the 1990s. So I actually remember FoxPro. I don't remember DBase. DBase had just left when I started. FoxPro is the precursor to Excel for everybody out there. Yes, there was a day before Excel. And as Kathy is making clear, there was a time that you didn't just go on Indeed to apply for a job. You actually had to type up a resume and mail it somewhere. So you build this career, like I said, starts with a job. You kind of created a position that it sounds like added a lot of value, as you said. By the end there, you're picking up slack that is allowing the hospital to realize more revenue. So tell me what happens in March or April. I guess this wouldn't be 2020. This would be 2021 when you first run into the vaccine mandates, correct?
Correct. So at the time, Governor Cuomo was in office, and the woman that's running the state now was the lieutenant governor. Now, to remind your listeners, she is born and raised Buffalo. She claims to be a Mercy girl. I'm sure she is. And she and my CEO are best friends and next door neighbors. So that's just to kind of give people what some of the healthcare workers were up against. So of course it was like, there's this invasion and it's viral and all hands on deck. I was deemed essential because I worked for the surgeons, but I had, in this role when COVID hit, I was only to have patient contact if they were still going through a clinical trial. You know, of course, they were trying to limit everybody's exposure to other human beings at this time. And, you know, we were masking, going in, working 10, 12, 13 hours a day, just caring for people that had no idea what was going on or what was about to happen, right? Because, you know, most of us were not alive during, you know, bubonic plague and things like that. So, you know, we're healthcare workers, right? So, you know, even sure. though I can't stand when they say, oh, even superheroes don't wear capes. I really hate that stereotype. People who get into medicine and get into medicine because they believe it, or they believe in the function of it, or they believe in wanting to help. Nobody gets in it because they want to wear a cape. And so, you know, for like a year, this is what we're doing. And you know, and I'm making sure the doctors are doing what they're supposed to by protocols. And, you know, every day a new protocol is coming out. The state's changing this, the county's changing that. And that was my role. That was my role, making sure the nurse practitioners, the PAs, the nurses, LPNs, the data clerk secretaries, that everybody knew what was going on. And this is what you needed to do today. We were very fortunate. A lot of companies like bought the hospital lunch, like, you know, 3,000 people in that hospital, and certain restaurants in town were sending like, you know, 500 pizzas. And, you know, it was just so chaotic. It was almost like a remembrance of like how sad the country was during 9/11 and how they all pulled together. But then slowly, as people started to realize, look, this really kind of exhibits the signs of the flu or a cold, you know, you got to understand, nurses, 20-year nurses, they see the signs, they know the signs. So at this point, we're all kind of doing our own education and deciding we're not going to get a vaccine. I myself, working in clinical trials, know what a rushed drug could do to the human body. I know that firsthand. So knowing that that's what I know, knowing that that's what took place, it, you know, it was my option not to get it. And then you're just kind of watching Governor Cuomo put the screws in harder and harder. And you're thinking to yourself, do you think we not know? Do you think we don't understand like what our options are? Nurses weren't dying. People that were caring for these patients in my hospital were not dying. And, you know, the few people who quote unquote got COVID, we still don't even know if they did, because of all these tests now were deemed false positives. And so I, of anybody in that hospital, the only person working in clinical research knows whether to get a vaccine that was rushed or not. And then my own practitioner, and I would like to remind people that this solely was not about civil disobedience for me. My medical practitioner of 38 years, my doctor of 38 years, along with my heart specialist and my OBGYN, all said, you really are not eligible for the vaccine anyways, XYZ. So I had a medical exemption, and of course I had a religious exemption. People who are getting...
Before you go on, when you say that, you actually applied and received some kind of approval, like paperwork saying, yes, you're exempt?
My doctors wrote a letter explaining why I could not get the vaccine at this time.
Okay.
And I also submitted a religious exemption together. And it was approved until December 3rd of 2021.
So just to be clear, you actually used the state's own process and you were approved. This
correct.
Person does not have to get the vaccine for two different reasons. I mean, for everybody out there who's not religious, well, I don't think, you know, blah, blah, blah. You had a medical exemption with a letter, you know, from your doctor as the backup, but approval by the state, correct?
Well, the approvals that were given, and I'm not a lawyer, were like they could be revoked at any time. And that's what happened, because when Kathy Hochul then became governor, she changed the format for the medical exemption because people were getting them. I mean, we could be conspiracy theorists all day long. Let's say 50,000 people got the medical exemption due to the factors that the state gave at the time. They gave like five different factors. and I qualified for them, some of them. So when she became in office, that criteria changed, and I no longer met the criteria as far as Governor Hochul was concerned. So that's kind of where I then started to get into trouble. And I was not the only one. There were a few others in the hospital in the same boat I was in. And the excuse the hospital was saying is, well, come in, we'll give you the vaccine and we'll monitor you in the ER for a couple of days.
So wait a minute. So just how it goes down, you get this conditional approval, the criteria change, then what happens? Do you get like an email saying you must get the vaccine by a certain date? Or
by December 3rd. We had till December 3rd.
Okay. Or what? What did the email say? If you don't get
it? Or lose your job.
Is that what they said in the email?
It was, you would be terminated. Yeah.
Really?
Under the grounds of disobeying a direct order. And that was perfectly worded by the governor so that we could not collect unemployment either.
Oh yeah. Because you're not performing the job or something to that effect.
Yeah. We're disobeying a direct order. That was the term.
Yeah. Great. So, December 3rd comes. What happens next?
So, December 2nd was a payroll day, and I had to go into the hospital and try to do payroll. So December 1st, I went to my doctor and said, I no longer qualify. I don't know what to do. And just to kind of put people into perspective, my personal situation, I was 26 months from a state retirement, full pension, full benefits, 26 months. Okay. But at 50 something years old, do I want to die and leave my family behind for a job? You know, this is the situation that was the reality for me. Luckily, I am not somebody who abuses sick time or vacation time. So I had a bunch of hours in the sick bank. And I had a bunch of vacation hours. So my doctor said, look, I'm going to take you out of work. You should be out of work anyways. He really didn't want me working in that situation in the event I did get COVID. So he said, I'm going to take you out of work. We're going to put you on a medical leave and then ride out, the time and see what happens. And then once my medical time had expired, then I would probably have to make the choice whether to get the vaccine or go back to work or lose my job completely. December 1st, my doctor took me out of work. So on the weekend, that Saturday, December 4th, I believe it was, I had to go to the hospital, even though I was out, and do payroll because nobody knows how to do payroll. So I go in to do payroll and I see that I'm locked out of the computer. So I call.
So you're terminated.
At that point I was terminated. So I called IT and I said, hey, I'm locked out of my computer. They said, yeah, you're on the termination list. I said, oh, I can't be. I'm on medical leave. And they're like, I'm sorry. I said, okay, it's probably just a mistake. And it could have been. I wasn't really super worried about it till Monday when I called HR and they said, no, you're fired. I said, oh, I'm on medical leave. They said, no, you're not. I went, listen, when you're working for government entities, ECMC and Rosa Park are both what's called public benefit corporations. They are paid with taxpayer dollars. So I'm unionized. I'll go to the union. The union will help me. They'll see that this is wrong. Well, what a big surprise. And the union refused to represent me because I won't get vaccinated. I said, the answer is I won't. The answer is I can't. And they are two different words with two different meanings. And I am not going to go against my doctor's wishes. Just like if somebody had back surgery and your doctor said, you can't go to work for 6 weeks. People don't go back to work in two. So why was this any different? You know, and we all know where the pockets of the unions are. So I got my own. I decided I'm going to take care of this on my own. I went and got all the paperwork and I filed a claim against the hospital for illegal termination and I won. So that was my first battle.
Wait a minute. You won. Okay. So we're in December 2021. You find out that you're fired, even though you were supposed to be on medical leave. And then when was the filing for the lawsuit, and when was the decision made?
I filed it around December 6th or December 7th. Once I officially knew that I was really terminated, they weren't going to concede. They weren't, whatever it was, the hospital and the union were playing. I said, I better get my bases covered because there's a 30-day window. So I filed a claim against the hospital with the EEOC. We did not get to trial for that until the summer. Ironically, our court was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon was when the state conceded the vaccine, like 2 hours before my case. So,
what do you mean by conceded the vaccine?
So while this was all going on, a lawyer by the name of, I'm going to probably butcher the first name, Sajida Gibbons, she's from Syracuse. She was paid by the Child Health Defense to represent healthcare workers in New York State to try to get them what the others already had gotten, your job back, seniority back, and back pay. Just so people are clear too, New York State's back pay law is the difference between what you were making and what you are making. So even though I was paid, I'm going to give ballpark figures. Let's say I was making $85,000 a year there. And now I'm making a job working $50,000 a year. The state would only have to pay $35,000 times how many years I am at that lower rate. So when she got to court that day, the state let go of the lawsuit. They said, basically, we're not pursuing this anymore. So
they settled in your favor.
Well, they conceded. So there wasn't a settlement. There wasn't... They didn't even see the judge. They came in and said, we're no longer pursuing this. The healthcare workers can not get vaccinated anymore. Like, we give, we're done. Boom. And so because of that, the argument to get our seniority and back pay was never heard. And to this day, it's still never been heard because nobody wants to pick it up. So I decided to get my own lawyer and do my own fighting. For this portion, because the union, though they have never really truly made a clear decision on representing me or not, I can't even really get them to return any emails at this time. Every time I do, it's, hey, we'll get back to you, and 5 weeks go by, and, hey, are you guys, because what everybody's doing is stall tactics, because December 3rd of this year, if you don't have a claim in, all claims are gone. So if anybody is listening and wants to sue their employer, their union, whomever it is, you have to have notice of claim in before December 3rd, because the 3-year statute of limitations is then. Luckily, I kind of know of this stuff, so I put in my own claim against all the different entities until one wins or one loses. At this point, I don't know, because the second portion of all the lawsuits are this year. So, the way it looks to me, and you know,
let me interrupt you real fast, because when you say you won, in other words, they conceded, did you start working at your old job as of that day?
No, because the catch was that because the lawsuit was not heard in front of a judge, the details that this woman was suing for never got heard.
Right.
They just dropped the lawsuit. So how it stood by the governor was, if your job was available, you could get it back. However, they did not say if you would get your back pay or even your seniority back.
Right.
There were people that went back. Now, you have to understand, when you're a 20-year employee of a government entity like that, your salary range and your steps, so to speak, are very, very high. And to go back to zero is an enormous pay cut, an enormous benefit cut.
Right.
So I thought, I have 26 months. I'm going to keep fighting this, because the worst that's going to happen is they're going to give me a settlement and it's going to be over.
So right? At the point in summer of 2022, when this concession happened, was your job open?
Summer of 23.
How did I get... So you're let go in December of 2021, right?
Correct. Nothing happened in 2022. Nothing.
Oh, and then it was not till 2023. Gotcha. Correct. Okay, so now you're
2022 was my EEOC here.
Okay. So yeah. 2023, the summer, was your old job available even at this lower pay level?
So technically, okay, in government entities like this, you have to take a civil service exam in order to stay a permanent employee. I was a permanent employee. However, I was not thinking clearly, and the person sitting in my job was not a permanent employee because the person sitting there did not have and pass a civil service exam because it wasn't out yet. Because they don't come out all the time. They come out randomly. So had I thought of that, I could have went in at that point and started arguing that point, but it didn't actually cross my mind till just a few months ago when I found out the exam came out and she failed. So that makes the job open, regardless of whatever I forgot or whatever I didn't know. Now the job is open, but now they're refusing to give it to me because they're saying, because I have an open lawsuit with the hospital, which is true. The EEOC hearing is still going.
And your lawsuit is to be reinstated at where you were in December of 2021. Is that
so? Correct. So I'm asking to be reinstated. I am asking for the back pay, and I am asking for all the sick time I lost to be reinstated. I'm asking for all the holidays, vacation time, and PTO I lost because of this. I'm asking for pain and suffering. And in New York State, there is a price tag on that. For my level, it's $5,000 because I had no bodily injury. I mean, there's like a laundry list of stuff that the
right.
lawyers
come
up
with.
Did
they come back to you with any offers?
Yes, they did. they did, and the judge himself laughed.
Okay.
So it was.
Well,
it was
share this. Insulting. Share this humorous offer with the rest of us.
$4,000.
What's that?
$4,000.
They want to give you $4,000.
Yeah.
And your job back or?
No, $4,000 to go away.
Period.
Period.
What would you do with the money? That's a joke.
Well, ironically, I'd probably have to pay the lawyer.
Yeah.
But,
right.
this is the point for me. You know, I led the charge very heavily with other healthcare workers, and I paid a very severe price for that. I lost friends. I lost family. Luckily, I never lost the respect of my chairman or the people I worked with. I'll never forget this day, an employee who I had done a tremendous favor for, and I'm talking like levels of sainthood favor for, and I heard this person talking to another employee saying, I hope these people die. That's what people were saying to us at yeah. work. Now, this isn't the first tragedy that ECMC has experienced since I've been there. We had a huge, nasty, awful cyber attack 1 year, and it shut the entire hospital down for months. We actually had an IT person die at his desk from that cyber attack was 100 times worse than COVID. I lost 13 years of data, everything. And I worked tirelessly, days, nights, running lab reports around the hospital like a crazy person, making sure doctors got what they needed because we couldn't use computers. We couldn't use our cell phones. They had no Wi-Fi, nothing. We couldn't use MRI machines, nothing. Patients were being diverted all over the place because we couldn't use computers. You have no idea. The entire hospital runs on a computer. And I was there for that.
So from December of 2021 until the present, Have you been out of work? Have you taken a different job? Or what have you been doing to survive all this time?
So I was one of the few lucky people who was able to collect unemployment. I, of course, had to go to a hearing for that, you know, because nothing's ever easy. Because I did have a medical exemption, the state did allow me to collect unemployment. And because I'm such a good person and such a hard worker, a former boss of mine that I worked for prior to coming into medicine, he owns a restaurant, and I called him and I said, "Hey, look, it's Christmas. Can I come in and wash dishes or anything like that?" Because I actually didn't get the unemployment till months and months later, till after the hearing and everything. But of course, initially I was denied right away. And it was, like I said, the month of Christmas. So he had called. He's like, "You know, of course you could work here anytime you need, whatever you need." And then he said, "I know somebody looking for a broad in the office. Yeah, you up for that?" And I said, "Sure." And I've been with this second company since then.
So, you know, one of the things I've written about and was writing about in March of 2020 was the economic devastation that this was going to cause. Right when they first started talking about lockdowns, or right after they were imposed. And I mean, this is just another example. Everybody has now heard what your background is, where, you know, I hate to use these aggregates, but where the economy had you deployed before and what work you were doing. And not to take anything away from washing dishes or doing the books at a small company, but that's not the most efficient use of your skills for the community.
I just want to
emphasize that point to everybody. It's that this is doing this all over the place. There are many, many people who are not contributing what they would like to and what they could because they have been prevented from doing so, including you. But that's a little editorializing. So where do we stand now? It's still March, right? Yeah, it's March of 2024. You've got this open lawsuit. What's the schedule from here on in?
So once we get the original court or the next court date, they told us it would be like the end of summer. We knew it'd be like July, August. They told us that because, you know, courts are so behind from a year and a half of not functioning with COVID. And the judge did urge the other team to settle. He said, I really strongly encourage you to settle with them. It doesn't mean that I'm going to win. It just kind of means like, we just want to get these things off the plate. I'm not an unreasonable person. There are many of those items on the checklist I am happy to forego, including the back pay. And just to give people perspective, my pay cut was over $30,000. So I'm at a negative $60,000 from what I was earning to what I am earning now. One thing I get, unlike nurses, now you got to mind you, nurses are the key, right? I'm a paper pusher. My job is very, very specialized. It is limited to one type of cancer, though the clinical trials, the grant writing, you can kind of do with any medicine. But you're blackballed. People like us are blackballed because I have applied for countless jobs with companies that I supersede their list of demands. And then they're like, "Oh, can I ask why you're not at ECMC anymore?" And you don't want to lie. You know, you don't want to say, and I right away go in. I said, "Well, I couldn't get vaccinated." And I said, "Please let me stress the importance of the word could. I had medical exemptions. This was not civil disobedience." And so, but then they kind of look at you like, "Oh, great. One of them, you know, I might as well sit there with pink hair, tattoos on my face and a nose ring." But
no, then they'd hire you.
Right. I'm a they, them. So you're kind of like blackballed. And there were times when the CEO of my hospital said to people, "Well, if you want the truth, ask McGowan, she'll tell you." Cause I am that person. Anything that hospital gave me over the course of 10 years, cause I was there 10 years prior to Roswell or after Roswell, I mean, anything. "Kathy, will you do this? Kathy, can you do this? Will you run this committee? Will you work here? Will you do this?" They have a big fundraiser every year, and I cut by hand something like 1,200 roses by hand So the tables would look beautiful. I just, there was nothing that hospital could ask me to do that I ever told them no. I never got paid extra. I didn't ask for extra pay. I didn't ask even for an attagirl. I never asked for any of that stuff. That was my home. That I'm working for the team I love in the field I'm educated and love. And I got to do what I wanted to do. And so to help the hospital out, it was like an honor. Excuse me, I'm sorry. So for this whole thing to go down the way it did, I get, excuse me, that they may be under some constraints with the governor. I get that. And I guess you can't do for one that you can't do for all. But there are some times when you look at people who ran circles for you and generated millions of dollars of revenue, not to mention the patients that brought notoriety to the department came in because of me, because they knew me and they trusted me. So for them not to say, okay, we'll give you your job back, but we're not going to do this, or to kind of find the happy medium, for them to say, no, you're suing us, we don't want you back. Like, are we five? It's heartbreaking. I can't even talk about it without choking up.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I understand the lawsuit too. You ask for the world so that you're in a negotiating position and you're willing to take something reasonable. Let's get back to work here.
I'm actually not asking for the world. I'm asking only for what I lost.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say you were asking for more.
I know what you're saying, but I just want people to know that, like, oh, she's just suing to make a fast buck. Believe me, even if they gave me every single thing I asked for, I still have to keep working.
Yeah, sure. And I guess the last question I want to ask you is, let's say I could wave a magic wand and you just walk in there tomorrow at your old pay, basically where you want to be. Would you look at the job and your coworkers the same, or has this permanently kind of jaded you?
So my coworkers and my direct support, like the surgeons, no, because they have been in constant contact with me because, you know, I ran their lives for 10 years. So even when I wasn't there, I was still working from home and doing their work until they could get somebody in the building to fill that role. It took 6 months for them to get somebody to even apply for that position. So, you know, I was still doing that work. So my coworkers, my inner circle, no. But the administration, never again. I will never be a fool twice.
Yeah, understood. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming and sharing that story. I guess it sounds like somewhere over the summer when might find some conclusion to this, let's keep in touch and let me know how it came out. Maybe you can come back and give us some good news.
Oh, I would love that.
All right. Thanks again, Kathy.
Thank you again for the opportunity. And please remind your listeners that there are still healthcare workers fighting this fight, and don't look at them any other way than they're doing what's best for their own bodies. Because again, we know we could go through that whole my body, my choice thing and the Nuremberg Code, and we can cite all these things. But if a healthcare worker didn't want the vaccine, that has to tell you something.
Yeah. Well said. Thanks again, Kathy.
Thank you, Tom. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
All right, friends, that's going to do it for today. Just a few reminders to stop by TomMullenTalksFreedom.com/support. And check out all the ways that you can support my efforts here, including joining my Patreon or my Substack. And if you haven't already, make sure that you go to itsthefedstupid.com to download a copy of my free ebook, It's the Fed Stupid. And as always, if you like the music you've heard here on Tom Mullen Talks Freedom, you can hear more at TomMullenSings.com. Thanks for listening.
The War of Ideas has only just begun. Arm yourself with the knowledge you need by heading to TomMullenTalksFreedom.com and subscribing to our email list. And remember, every revolution starts in the minds of the people.